Good morning. I'm Dean Moyer, and they reminded me I'm supposed to start the announcements. Now, the instruction sheet is missing from the folder, so I'll just have to wing it and do the best I can. But in a moment, we'll be joining in on the hymn sing. Back in the back are rocking chairs for those who would like to rock or have a child they would like to rock. Bathrooms are out that way or out this way. You will find men and women's rooms. I suppose I should say a word of welcome, shouldn't I? Welcome to all of you. I looked at the weather report in the paper this morning, and it looks better for the coming week. It's going to be cooler. And so you might want to share in even more activities than usual, since we won't have such extreme heat. Now, we are going to be finishing next Sunday, the Blessed to Me worship series, and we'll be starting after that a new series based on our stained glass windows. There is our City Methodist Church picnic coming up on August the 2nd. You have a blue slip in your folder or in your bulletin. Read that, and if you can participate in some way, indicate it on this and put it in the offering plate this morning so we will know what you would like to be able to do. Blessings in the backpack, we are sharing in that program, and contributions toward the coming year need to be in by next Sunday morning. So you'll find a blue slip in the bulletin that speaks about that. You'll notice one about outreach in July and even more information about blessings in a backpack. Then I want to remind you that Vacation Bible School will be starting. It'll be August 20 through 24. And if you can help in some way, perhaps you've already volunteered, but Morgan will be having a meeting with those who want to participate in some way helping in the Vacation Bible School. So if you can, be here at 5:15, July 27th in the chapel room. Morgan was going to mention that but couldn't come this morning at the last minute. But remember again, the meeting coming up this coming July 27th at 5:15 in the chapel room. And now, maybe you have a welcome of some sort. They told me to come up and do my part and get us started.
Good morning. We're going to start the service as we do in the summer with a hymn sing. We'll do three hymns, one verse each, and I think we've been picking one from each area. So let's start in the middle today. Any? 96. All right. I couldn't do yours the last time I was here, so I'm glad you called out. 96.
Praise the Lord who reigns above and keeps his court below. Praise the Holy
was looking over here. 102. She told me her favorite hymn is Be Thou My Vision, but she was trying to branch out. So.
Who wondrous things has done, in whom lives
side of the church? 382?
382. Have I no
See you next week.
Good morning. What a great day. I am so honored to say that I am the pastor here. I am Pastor Alicia Wood, and I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all here. I am excited because today is our sixth week of 7 weeks of our series called Bless to Me. So you can see over here we have our beautiful threshold. Who came through the threshold today? Through the butterflies. It's pretty amazing, right? I'm going to miss it when it goes. And we also have our rolling hills of Ireland here and our Celtic cross. So welcome. The tradition of blessing prayers has endured through the centuries among the people called Celts. These blessings reveal a sense of the holy in every moment, in everything, in every person. This is a way of living, of observing and celebrating, blessing and being blessed by the ordinary acts and encounters of life. Inspired by this tradition of Celtic spirituality and featuring the blessing poems of Beth A. Richardson, we are spending time in July steeping in the blessings that surround us and live within us. Too often we consider blessings to be just for those that feel good to us. And yet the Celtic tradition extends blessing to especially times of loss. What blessing might we find in those circumstances? Not in spite of those circumstances, but perhaps because of them. Blessing does not deny sorrow, but deepens and moves us through it. So let us begin our time of worship with our song, Bless to Me.
In the eye of the one, in the eye of the Son, in the eye of the Spirit, the three, who created, redeemed, and who washed my soul clean, in love I am bending my knee. Blessed to me.
And welcome. I'm Joyce Flynn, and I will be your liturgist this morning. Would you all now please rise if you are able and join me in the call to worship, a Beth Richardson poem titled, Bless This Journey. May you recognize in your life the presence, power, and light of your soul. May you realize that you are never alone. May you have respect for your own individuality and difference.
May
Understand that behind the facades of your lives, there is something beautiful, good, and eternal happening. May we learn to see ourselves in the same delight, pride, and expectation with which God sees us in every moment. Please remain standing and join now in singing our opening hymn, "We Cannot Measure How You Heal," as displayed on the screen. Please be seated. So some have come who need your help, and some have come to make amends, as hands which shaped and saved the world are present in the touch of friends. Lord, let your Spirit meet us here to mend the body, mind, and soul, to disentangle peace from pain, and make your broken people whole.
This jar of murky water never settles. I keep picking it up and shaking it and moving it from here to there. And the fragments of sand and memories never quite settles. Teach me the spaciousness of settled water, of clear and calmness, left by leaving something alone for hours on end. Time doing nothing at all is not time wasted. It is time spent in letting the dust settle, letting the expanse of the interior of my soul reach out beyond the usual self-imposed limitations of time and traffic. Even when I feel like I am pressed by the vice grip of all that holds me, there is time to breathe in, breathe out. And watch the last ripple in the water fade to nothingness. Here, rest your grieving heart on the wide expanse of these clear waters. I will, we will, hold you for a time we will not measure.
As we continue to learn how to rest, reflect, and support one another in struggling times, let us greet one another by shaking hands and saying good morning or peace be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors now.
Will the children please come forward if they're able and excited? So, has anyone here read the book called The Kissing Hand? No? Oh, it's a good one. So, you've read The Kissing Hand. Okay. So, can you tell me about it? Do you remember? Are you comfortable telling me something? Let me get the book, or the microphone. Let's see here. What do you remember about The Kissing Hand? Have you read it too? No? Okay.
There's a bear.
Yeah. It's been a while, huh? It was a couple years ago, huh?
What else?
Why do we call it The Kissing Hand?
Because someone kisses the bear's hand.
Yes. Because the mom kisses the bear's hand so that when he goes to school... Do you remember? When he goes to school, his mom is with him because she kissed his hand and she closes the hand with a kiss in it. Or he closes the hand with a kiss in it. Thank you. I'm glad you remembered that. Okay, so I was thinking about this book, The Kissing Hand, and I thought about how in this, the child is afraid to go, the bear, is afraid to go to school. Because it's his first day of kindergarten, and he's nervous. And so his mom says, let me give you something so that I'm always with you. And she kisses his hand, and she closes it up and says, now you always have me with you. And so I was thinking about this book and thinking about maybe how we can think about how God is always with us. So I'm thinking about maybe instead of putting a kiss in our hand, we can put the breath in our hand. You know, the Holy Spirit, sometimes we talk about the breath within us and around us and the wind. So why don't we breathe into our hands. Ready? Everybody do it. Does it feel cool? Mine feels cool. Yeah. So let's pretend that is God right there, the Holy Spirit in our hand, and close that up. And now know that wherever you go, God is with you. Everywhere you go, God is with you, whether you're happy or you're sad or you're frustrated or you're celebrating. God is always with you. So I'm wondering, one more thing. Does anyone ever get sad? Is there anyone here that ever gets sad? No. One person said, no, you do sometimes, sometimes. Well, when you get sad, just remember this hand that the Holy Spirit is right inside here, okay? Well, I'm so grateful you came up and sat with me. Can we pray together? Okay, great. Loving God, thank you so much for being with us even when we're sad. And thank you for the reminder that even when we're sad, happy, frustrated, or celebrating, that the Holy Spirit is among us, is with us. We can feel the cool breeze on our hand as we blow on it, or we can feel the cool breeze of the wind around us. And we pray this in all your many names. Amen. Thank you for coming and talking with me today. And remember, your hand has that Holy Spirit in there wherever you go. And so I'm going to ask you to go sit back with whoever brought you, your family members, okay? And we're going to start our next thing as you go to the next thing. All right. So it is a time of prayer. Let us settle our hearts, rest our feet and our bodies into our pews. And if you would like your prayer read as a part of worship, please get out your lavender, your purple slip, and you can hold it up and the ushers will come to get it so that it can be read as a part of our worship. And as this happens, let's sing together, "Bless to Me." Those are my handwriting. Hopefully you can read them. Thank you. Let us settle ourselves, rest our feet, rest our knees, rest our hips, rest our backs, rest our necks and our arms and our hands and our minds. And settle ourselves in prayer.
Let us join together in a time of prayer as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer and then the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. Let us pray. Ever-present and mysterious God, you are always with us, but we often cannot discern your purpose for us or for the difficult, sad, and distressing things we sometimes experience. Help us to remember that disappointment, adversity, and loss are important parts of life that allow us the opportunity to appreciate the contrast between happy and sad, easy and difficult, good and bad, and which can challenge us to learn and grow. All-knowing and ever-loving God, keep us mindful of the many blessings, great and small, that you bestow on us, and your great and constant love for us. Help us to count each of those blessings, even when, or especially when, things are at their darkest and most difficult. Encourage us to embrace our grief, our fear, our losses, and to let ourselves settle, so that with time, we reach out beyond the familiar and comfortable and open ourselves to new ways of feeling and thinking, caring, and living. This we say in the name of Jesus, your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, "Mother, Father, God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand now if you are able and join in singing Holy Darkness as displayed on the screen. This is a song we sang in Lent 2016 during our Gifts of the Dark Wood series, so it may sound familiar. Be seated. As we await you, O God of silence, we embrace your holy night. Our scriptures today speak of God as refuge and protector. I will be reading the first two verses of Psalm 31 and then words of Paul about suffering to the church in Corinth from 2 Corinthians verses 8 through 10. Both readings are from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. In you, O Lord, I see refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. And our second reading from 2 Corinthians. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God.
Good morning again. I'm wondering, has anyone here ever had a hard day? Anybody? Yeah, I see a hand. I see some laughing and say, yeah. That's right. Even getting here was hard. Yes. So is there anyone here who has ever had a day of hurt, where you're hurting? Yeah. So this book that we've been talking about, this series, is Christ Beside Me, Christ Within Me, which I actually have some more with me. I ordered some more if anyone would like one at the end. But I would like to read a prayer just to get started. So this is a prayer called For One Who Is Hurting. Will you pray with me? God, your peace, your comfort, your healing presence, send them into the places of deep sadness, the wounds, the disappointments, the tears and aching hearts. Touch the tear-lined cheeks with your kiss of peace. Hold your child close, child full of sorrow. Hold your child close, child all alone. Bring comfort and healing, balm for broken hearts, freedom from fear, and courage to face forward. You are the miracle worker, the great healer, the mender of the breach. Come now. Come quickly. Come. Amen. So I'm wondering, on these hard days, or on days in which you're hurting, who is with you? Who has been there for you? Just shout it out. Family, husband, God, friends. Yeah. People are with us. God is with us. And sometimes God sends those people to be with us. But we are not alone. We are never alone because God is always with us. And, I forgot about my clicker. I hurt sometimes. I'm human. And Paul, this is a prison in which St. Paul stayed. And he wrote, Paul sent a couple letters to the Corinthians and other letters to home churches or house churches throughout the Mediterranean area. And so one of his letters is the second letter to the Corinthians, and that's where we found our scripture today. Now, Paul, he got into a lot of messes because of his faith. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was put down over and over because of his faith. And so this is one of the places in which he spent some of his time. And in those prisons, sometimes he wrote letters, and sometimes he sang songs, and sometimes he prayed. And as our scripture told us today, Paul, even in his suffering and despair, he knew Jesus was with him. He knew that Jesus had experienced his pain, and Jesus stayed right with Paul wherever he went. And Paul stayed hopeful because he knew one day he would see Jesus face to face. And our scripture really hits home for all of us who have ever been saddened or in despair or suffering from an illness or our bodies aren't working the way they used to. This week, I'd really like to talk a little bit more about the author of this book, Beth Richardson, and her grandpa. Because, you know, I've mentioned this book many times and how much it's deepened my faith, and I know that the groups that are meeting have said the same thing. But I want to tell you a little bit about the stories within it. Because before each chapter, Beth Richardson tells a story about her grandpa, and her grandpa's name was Tom. So I might interchange, I'm telling you in case I accidentally interchange the word grandpa and Tom as I tell the stories. So the first story I'd like to tell you is about Beth's grandpa, Tom, and his beginning. He was born to an Irish mother. One of his parents was Irish and one of them was English. And he was born in South Africa. They were living in South Africa when they met, married, and had children. And so that's interesting in itself. And then when Tom and his twin brother were about 10, Jack, his brother, broke his arm, and they needed to go back to England to have a surgery because the doctors in South Africa were not able to fix it or heal it the way that made it work well. So they went back to England for this surgery. Well, guess what? While they were there, World War I broke out, and they were not allowed to travel at all. So they were not allowed to travel back to South Africa. So they decided, since we're here, let's spend some time with relatives in Ireland. So they went to Ireland for a bit, and they were scheming, how can we get back to South Africa? Because that's where their home was, that's where they wanted to go. And so Tom, or Grandpa, his father, said, you know what we're going to do? The only country that's not in the war is the United States. So how about we go from Ireland to the United States, and then we'll stay there for a little bit with some friends in Oklahoma, and then we'll go to South Africa. We'll kind of go a little off, but we'll make it there. So they head off to the United States, and they visit some family in Oklahoma, and guess what? The United States enters World War I. So they're stuck in Oklahoma because there was no longer civilian travel. So they were there. Well, by the time the war ended, they had run out of money, and they were unable to afford a trip to South Africa. And so Tom, Grandpa, his dad, bought a farm in Oklahoma, and although he had never farmed a day in his life, became a farmer. And in that story, Grandpa says, God was with them. God was with them in all of that. They never got back to South Africa. They stayed in Oklahoma, and that's where Beth Richardson's grandpa stayed for the rest of his life. So that's one story. And then, what's my next story? Oh, yes. So Grandpa grew up. And his dad believed every boy needed to know carpentry. So he taught him in his teens the skill, the trade of carpentry. And then Grandpa Tom was old enough and he went to college and he got his degree in teaching. He came home and was ready to teach. So he put it in his application all over the area in Oklahoma, all over. And he was not being hired. He would not be hired. And finally he said to one of his friends, who was a superintendent of one of the schools, could you tell me what's going on? Do you know something I don't know? And the superintendent said, read this letter. If you ever tell anyone I showed you this letter, I will deny it. And in the letter, it said that he could not work in this town, in this area, because he was not from the United States. He was from Ireland. He had an Irish accent. He was different. And it was signed by the Ku Klux Klan. And he never worked a day of his life as a teacher. And you know what? He wasn't bitter. Grandpa Tom, he just knew God was with him, and he moved on. He said, okay, I'm going to be a carpenter. And he used his gifts, his skills that his dad had taught him to be a carpenter. He always knew, even in those hard times, that God was with him. And then the last story I'd like to share with you, I really would just like to read out of the book because Beth A. Richardson has a gift with words, and it sounds much better when she tells it than I. So she says, Grandpa Tom married Grandma Hazel on October 26, 1929. The stock market crashed on October 29th. Grandpa always said that the crash didn't matter much to them. They had spent all their money getting married 3 days before. But it did mean that times were hard as they began their marriage. They lived with Grandpa's dad, raised chickens, and farmed as they could in the midst of the Depression and the Dust Bowl. Grandpa traveled to whatever work he could find, serving as a carpenter and a laborer on construction crews. And in 1939, he worked 23 weeks and made $700. Grandpa's life was filled with hard times, from his family's immigration to America to his poverty in Oklahoma to the dashed dreams of his vocation because of discrimination. He lived a life of love and grace, remaining positive in the face of disappointment. After Grandma died, he continued to live at home in his 90s. He took in his younger sister when she could no longer live alone, and they shared the house until she passed away. He lived until the age of 98 and died at home. Grandpa trusted in God's presence in the midst of struggles. He accepted the hardships of life without sinking into despair. When a tornado blew away the chicken house, he rebuilt it. When the KKK made sure he didn't get a teaching job, he worked the carpenter trade that he had learned from his father. When Grandma died of a heart attack, he kept living, planting, harvesting, greeting at church, attending football games, telling stories, loving his family. Grandpa lived fully with love and grace until he died. That is the hope I have for my life, that I will face the challenges that come my way and live fully, trusting God in love and in grace. God is always with us. And it's amazing to me that Grandpa always knew that God was with him, even in those hard times. For the past several weeks, we've talked about God with us in the little things, in the everyday moments. So why not know that God is with us in the very hard days? God is with us always. God is not punishing us or upset with us if something is not going our way. God is not punishing us or upset with us if we have an illness or physical pain or emotional pain. God is with us in that. God is right there in the murky water, in the deep despair with us. Grief can come in many forms. A loss of a job, home, the loss of a marriage or a relationship, children leaving home, the loss of physical movement, or maybe your body just isn't working the way it used to. It can come in the form of an illness or even in the form of the death of a loved one. I'd like to close with reading the prayer that reminds us that we may bless not only the moments of joy, but also the moments of grief, because God is with us always. Let us pray. Heaven weeps with you. Your loved one has died. Join the company of saints, sitting with the ancestors, singing with angels, watching over you in love. And none of those images, none of those promises can take away the exquisite grief that leaks out of your eyes, that has taken up residence in your heart. Bless the grief that breathes in you. Bless the sorrow that leaves you lost. Bless the emptiness that can never be filled. The Holy One is in each breath, each tear, each empty corner of your being. Bless the love that penetrates your numbness. Bless the heart that connects you forever with the one you have lost. Bless the Holy One who sits with you, breathes with you, cries with you. You are beloved and loved. You are not alone. Amen. So let us in this moment remember God is always with us. Amen.
As we enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to please place your attendance slips that look like this into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. I'd like our first-time visitors to the church to know that we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. We are grateful you are here, yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings. And now please join me in the prayer of dedication as displayed on the screen. I am the earth, the air, and the waters. We have no voice.
I will speak for you.
I am the redwood, the polar bear, and the great blue whale. We have no voice.
I will speak for you.
I am the poor, the homeless, and the orphan. I am the very young, the very old, and the disenfranchised.
I will speak for you.
I am a minority because of my size, shape, or color, the language I speak, my sexual orientation, or physical ability.
I will speak for you.
I am alone. Please remain standing and join me in singing the African American spiritual, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me, found on page 521 in your blue pew hymnal and as displayed on the screen.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I was so into that, I forgot I was coming up here. Oh, wow, what a great day today. God is with us always. And if you feel comfortable, please speak the benediction with me, and if you'd like to just take it in, rest in silence. God in my life, God on my lips, God in my soul, God in my heart, God in my hoping, God in my sufficing, God in my slumber, God in mine ever-living soul, God in mine eternity. Go now in peace to love and serve our God. Amen.